spiritual gift. We're studying God's romance with humanity. We're studying the gospel of Romans, Paul's doctrines. We're studying the person of God. And Paul tells us more about the person of God than any writer in the Bible. I want you to know that. Get that down. Paul tells us more about the person of God than any other writer in the Bible. He took an outlaw. God took an outlaw, a killer, a murderer, and made him the greatest of all apostles.
That's amazing, brother.
At least three of the apostles or the disciples of Jesus were Sicarii. The murderers. Sicarii. This is what the word name Sicily come from this. Sicily is not Italian. Sicily, a great faction of Sicily is Jewish. The Jewish mafia came from this very place. Masada was Sicarii. That wasn't Jewish, that was Sicarii. Barabbas was the leader of the Sicarii. The two men that were on the cross with Barabbas, supposedly, were his assistants. Barabbas was the ringleader of these murderers, assassins. The Sicarii, the dagger men, okay? And God took Paul and made something out of him, didn't he? This murderer. They would slip in with their long robes. They would slip in among the Roman soldiers and stab that long knife up underneath and twist it into their heart. Romans wore armor, but you had to get close to them to put that dagger in them. This was the Sicarii. Paul took that man that was so vicious, such a what we call an eccentric radical religionist. Okay? An eccentric radical religionist, and he used him to tell more about the mind of God than anybody else. Can you imagine that? And he uses us. 9 and verse 7 in the book of Romans, that's where we left off last week. 9 and verse 6, actually. We'll read it from Greek. Give you a little Greek with this. It's pretty. It's a beautiful language. It's masterful. Most perfect language that's ever been used. Ούδα. Hote. Eisen. Sperma. Abram. Okay. Pontes. Techna. Alla. En. Itzik. Clay. Theseta. Soy. Sperma. Now let's go in here and look at some things in this verse. Uthe is a contraction of uk and day. Okay, uk is a strong adversative conjunction, page 294. Day is a weak adversative conjunction. All right? Now we have not, moreover not, is how you would literally translate it, but it's also a correlative which is called neither. Okay? Because neither they are. And he's talking about the true children of God. Neither they are, and that is third person singular present and third person plural present indicative active. Neither they keep on being. Okay, I want you to understand this is a continuous thing. Seed, sperma. Sperma, we get a word sperm in English from this word. This is a seed that has caused all the human race to originate from Adam's sperm, okay? It is Zerah in Hebrew, Zerah, and Abram. Now, this is beautiful. This was Abram's name, literally. Abram. Now, the first two words right here is the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph and Beth. And Aleph means what? Head. Okay? And Beth means what?
House.
The head of the house, which is the Abba, the Father. Abba. Okay? Whereby we cry, Abba, Father, you know? Abba, Father. Now, the Jewish people used to say that a child would speak its father's name first. Abba, 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 Abba. You know how babies do that? Even people put their hand over the baby's mouth and make it sound like Abba, 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 Abba. Okay? I remember my daughter, when I lived in Fish Lake Valley, Dakota grew up on my lap. And I would take her into the radio room, and I had this D-104, which I still have, which I've had for 50 or 60 years. You saw that when you were little, Vincent. I'd take her there, and she'd get in that, and she'd go, blah, 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 blah. And out in the world, all over out there, they'd go do the same thing back to her. And when they'd go, blah, 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 back to her, she'd just start laughing up a storm. And then she'd grab that microphone, boy, and she'd do it some more. And finally, she got to wrestling with me one day with that microphone, and it was pretty heavy, and she busted the front of my FT-1000D Yaesu, cracked it. And it stayed cracked until I sent it in about several years later. Abba. Abram. Now, here we have, here his name meant exalted father. Mm-hmm. Exalted father. Okay? That's what Abraham means, exalted father. But God changed his name. And he changed his name to Abraham. Abraham. We're going to see some things in here that you miss if you don't know Hebrew and Greek. You're going to miss the whole action. You're going to miss the whole picture. Okay? Abraham. Now, Sharon, can you recite the Hebrew alphabet for me? Aleph. Beth. Gamel. Daleth. All right. All right. And then He. Now, He is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Marilyn, what is the number of grace in the Bible? Do you remember? What's the number of grace? Brother Ray?
Five
is the number of grace in the Bible. Five is the number of grace in the Bible. Now, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, God added to Abraham's name. Okay? The fifth letter, that is the number of grace. By grace, what? We are saved. Literally, in Ephesians 2 and 8, it's for in grace ye are having been saved. For in grace you're having been saved through faith. And that faith didn't come from you. Mm-hmm. Okay? That faith didn't come from you. So Abraham, we have God changing his name. Now he says, exalted father of a multitude. Okay? Exalted father of a multitude. That's who he is. Now it's going to tell us. If you go to the book of Malachi, I want you to see something here. Go to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. That's right before Matthew. Malachi. Malachi.
What chapter?
One and two. The oracle of the word of Jehovah to Israel through Malachi. Malachi. All right? Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Our lesson today is on the person of God. God is an introduction to the person of God. God is, John says in 1 John, God is what? Agape. He is love. What is agape? You remember what agape is? Sharon?
It's the kind of love that, well, it's a God kind.
It looks over all sin. It looks over all. Love covers a multitude of sins. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you have, hast thou loved us? Was not Esau's Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, but I hated Esau. Boy, this is really some radical things here. Now, I've heard a lot of Baptist preachers say, well, he loved less Esau. No, he hated Esau. Why did he hate Esau? Esau was a glutton. Isaac was a glutton. Isaac was a glutton. But Jacob took the good side. I want you to understand that. Jacob took the good side. But I have hated Esau, and I have made his mountains a desolation, appointed his inheritance for the jackals of wilderness. And by the way, his inheritance, his city, will probably be the dwelling place of Israel when she flees from the Antichrist. I love you, says the Lord. How hast you loved us? How have you loved us? How did you do it? The person of God. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham. It's Abram here, but it's Abraham, okay? All born, techna. We get our word technical out of this word. We get the word technician out of this word. And it means a live birth, techna. That means a live birth. All right. Because there are seed of Abraham all born, but in Yitzchak. Yitzchak. Sharon, what does Yitzchak mean?
Laughter, joy, pleasure, spontaneous pleasure.
Kissing, making love, all of that. That's what Yitzchak means. Okay? It means a pleasure. What was Yitzchak's? What was Yitzchak's real name? See if you remember your Hebrew lessons.
Are you talking about Isaac?
I'm talking about Isaac, Yitzchak. What was his real name?
Tristram.
Yitzchakel. Yitzchakel. Yitzchakel, what? Yitzchakel. Isaac, it means pleasure. Here we have on the end of Isaac's name, El, which is God. God has pleasure. God has pleasure. What is the pleasure of God? God laughs. God laughed. They laughed at God when they said, you're going to have this child, but God laughed back and gave them one. He laughed back. He laughed back and he gave them one. And then the firstborn of that one was a scoundrel, wasn't he? God's rejection of the firstborn. God's rejection of us. And when we're born the first time, we're born in the world, we're born, we can be a seed of Abraham, which I actually am. I'm actually a descendant of Abraham. How many of you knew that? I am literal descendant of Abraham. I prove that with DNA. I am a descendant of Abraham. It's very small, but it goes all the way back. You probably are a descendant of Abraham if you checked your DNA. Because Abraham was the father of the Ham, Shem, and Japheth race. He had three wives, and they had lots of children. He's the father of all the Arab race. He's the father of even the Greeks. And Alexander the Great. Many of his children became very famous. In Yitzchak, Yitzchak El, God laughs. How does God have the pleasure? For so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, or should not perish, may not perish, but have eternal life. That's the love of God. For God so loved what?
The cosmos.
In the book of Genesis, it says, Bara sheath, bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et ha'aretz. In beginnings, God created. Actually, in beginnings, he had created God. Et hashamayim. Hashamayim there means heavens, doesn't it? Heavens means what?
Mm-hmm.
Uplifted waters. Everything above the uplifted waters around the earth. Everything above the atmosphere. Okay? The whole universe. God created that whole universe, and he created it, and then he took the earth and placed it in exactly the right place. Exactly the right place. And there is where he would affect the whole universe, is on that little planet. He would affect the whole universe, because there is where he knows that he's going to he knows that Adam is going to throw the universe away and hand it into Satan's. This, why do we have sin? Why do we have illness? Why do we have all these things? Why do we have all this? Because of Satan. And because we followed him. And we follow him. How do you grow in Christ?
By reading the word.
Yeah, you read the word, all right. How do you grow in Christ? How do you become a stronger Christian? By sinning.
That was in my last guess.
By sinning. How, this is not what we want to do, is it? We do, though. But when we sin, what does God do?
Set fire to yourself in?
Cowboying. I used to do a lot of cowboying. We had circle horses. The circle horses went way out. They weren't worth a flip for anything else. Sometimes a circle horse was not a cutting horse. He was no good around cattle at all. But you could ride the way out of him. He had wind, and he could just go out there and gather the cattle in, and you get them in a bunch, and then you had to have a cutting horse to move along those cattle. A horse trained, a different horse. Circle horse. God circles us around and kind of gets us going. And when we sin, does it hurt you? Do you ever say a bad word? Did you ever say something that you shouldn't say as a child of God? You ever say something like that? Mm-hmm. And when it comes out of your mouth, what does it do to your heart? Bam, bam, bam. It just beats you up. When you have bad thoughts, when you do bad things, this is how you grow in Christ. And this is how you get to know God. Because God keeps on forgiving you.
Amen.
Our earthly fathers might warp us real good. Warm up the south end going north, you know. That's what happens. Isn't that right? That's good for us too, isn't it? You ever get a whipping you really deserved? I got a bunch of them I didn't deserve. Sometimes. I still hold that against my stepdad. One time we were up in Fish Lake Valley when I was a little boy, and I worked like a dog all the time up there. I worked hard from the time I was 7 years old to work like a man. My sister was lazy. Well, when we went up that Fish Lake Valley, she had to work a little bit, but she could figure out how to get out of it real good. We were up there and we had to go. We had 40 acres of alfalfa, and I had to pull the hand lines out. You know, they got wheel lines, they got pivotals and linear movers. Back then we had hand lines. You wouldn't put the thing down, and you had to put all these pipes together. We had to go out there in 40 acres and start doing this stuff. And anyway, we were carrying them, and my sister was helping me carry them back, which I didn't really need her at all. She was a pain in the neck. But right at the beginning, after about the second or third pipe, she goes out there, and we're coming back, and she falls down and just starts screaming. Just screaming, ah, bloody murder, you know. He hurt me. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? Dale comes over there, my stepdad comes over there. He said, what happened, Margaret? He pushed me down and hit me. Well, I was 15 or 20 feet away from her, and I didn't push her down and hit her, so he beat the tar out of me. And she got to go sit over there in the shade Well, I got the whole 40 acres in. It worked. She never will tell the truth about that, what happened then. But I sure got a beating, and I didn't deserve that beating. One time, I was at Fairfax School, not too long after I moved, I was back and forth between Fish Lake Valley and Bakersfield, going back and forth, and I had just moved out there, and it was a cultural shock. Orville Taylor was my teacher up there, and his mother, or wife, that is, was a teacher of the first to the fourth grade, and from the fifth to the ninth grade, I was in that one. And I was up there, and we didn't do anything but play baseball, because Orville Taylor was an ex-baseball, professional baseball player. And anyway, I came down to California, and I was big. I was so much bigger than the other kids. I was a foot taller than they were. And we had a guy at Foothill High School we called Rottenhouse. His name was Rittenhouse. But he loved to whip boys. He loved to whip them. And I came down, and a couple of my friends, we were sitting out in just in the playground during recess. And here come this kid. Tells us, come over here. Mr. Rittenhouse wants to see you. So we went over there. He grabbed us up and slammed us and took us to Mr. Wagner's, which was the principal's room. And he said, these boys disobeyed a direct order that I gave to them. And I didn't say very much, but I said, what are you talking about? Shut up. He said, I sent that boy out there and told him to get off. They were playing out there in the kindergartners. I said, we weren't out there. We were only where we were. We didn't do anything like that. He said, you're a lion. You know, like that to me. And I figured, like, right then, I said, I'm being framed here about something. I'm being framed. I didn't do this. I didn't do that deal up there. And I didn't do this over here. So we went in there, and Mr. Rittenhouse said, they need to have 10 swats apiece. Well, the principal, he didn't know any better. He thought this guy was telling the truth, even though he was lying through his teeth. So he lined us up there and he beat the tar out of us with 10 swats apiece. Well, I sure wasn't going to cry. And I didn't give him any. And he said, tell him you're sorry. I said, I didn't do anything. I'm not going to tell him I'm sorry over nothing. I got out of there. I'm going to tell you something. God is not like that. Mm-hmm. That's rotten, sinful nature. Two times, I got whippings that I didn't deserve. God has never whipped me that I didn't deserve. I never got a whipping I didn't deserve. I have not got whippings that I did deserve from the Lord. I have not, because that is God. God so loved the world. Who is God? Let's read back over here in Malachi again. Let's see about the character of God now. The oracle of the word of the Lord. Jehovah to Israel through Malachi. All right? Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. I have loved you. If you're here today, God has loved you. If you're one of his children, God had loved you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not his child, God don't love you. Now that's something really weird. God don't love everybody out there. Matthew 5 through 7 is the ethics of the kingdom. You're not supposed to treat the world like you do your brother. Mm-hmm. Your brothers, you got to put up with them. Mm-hmm. They'll let you down every time, you know. I remember Brother Greg a long time ago when he first got saved. Man, all he did was drink and play his guitar and lay around and sop up the sunshine. He'd tell you that. He told me that. I went over there to my neighbor over there. That they go over there and smoke marijuana and drink all the time. He was part of that group. He'd go over there and he could hardly read and write. Boy, he fell in love with God and he began to read and write. You know anything about that, Brother Ray?
No, they told me he did. Yeah. His reading abilities were amazing.
He didn't have any education at all. Didn't have any. He learned his education in church. Brother Ray, where'd you get your education?
In church.
right. How much education did you have outside of church?
Zilch.
You could hardly read and write. God loves you. He gives you abilities to do things that you wouldn't think ever you could do. You wouldn't think ever you could do it. You couldn't. My stepdad, Dale, was an atheist. He was an atheist. He tried to shove that off on me. I got saved when my grandmother got killed. But my stepdad, Dale, my mother didn't pay no more attention to me than a man on the moon when I was growing up. I was not part of her life, period. When Dale came in my life, he started raising me. He did some, he really pulled some real shenanigans. I'm telling you, the man was an outlaw. But he never taught me to do that. He taught me how to work like a slave. And I did. And I could do things. I could build things. I could build, make a saddle. I could make all my own bridles. I could train a horse when I was 7 years old. I got a picture of me 10 years old in Trail Canyon up there Mustanging when I was in 1957. The horse I was riding, I bought with my own money. I paid $150 for him in 1957. A kid did that. A kid did that. And the saddle that I was riding, I bought. The bridle that I was on that horse, I made. He taught me all those things. And then I saw him do some shenanigans. One time he came home and my sister was fooling around with a convict out of Camp Owens. He beat the tar out of her. She was in bed with him. He was a convict. She's about 10 years old. He come home and he whooped the tar out of her and he said, Margaret, he said, I'm from that ilk. I love you. Don't go that way. She told my mother, she got him run out of the house. She told my mother he whooped her for chewing her fingernails. She got rid of him, but I went with him. I went with him. And he did all of those things up in Nevada and everything we did after that. He did all that after that. All of those things. God never whipped me that I didn't deserve it. We use those old circle horses, anything that'll run and go, to gather up the cattle. And then we use the good cutting horses to cut them out and to rope them and to brand them and earmark them. Ephesians, the first chapter, says it's a beautiful thing. Let's go there real quick, Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, the absolute heavenly letter. That's a circle letter, circular letter. Ephesians 1. This is beautiful. In Greek, I always like to read this in Greek because it's so beautiful in Greek. Paulus Apostles Christus su dia thelamato su tois u hagios tois usin en ephesu kai pistios in Christu isu. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the spiritual activating force of God, by the mind of God. This what makes God tick. That's it, telematos. The spiritual activating force of God to the holy ones. To the ones not of the earth. That's you. This is a circular letter to all. In Ephesu was added in later. This is a letter even to the Highline Missionary Baptist Church today. The ones being here. And the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. Karisimen kai en reini apu theou, patros himon kai hyrios esu Christu. Grace to you. What's grace? Unmerited favor. Grace to you and peace from God the Father of us and the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, blessed the God and the Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us. having blessed us, had said all good things about you. Have you ever had anybody say bad things about you? You ever had anybody just blaspheme you? You know what God does? He never blasphemes you. He says good to you. That's my son. That's my son. That's my son. Brother Ray, are you proud of Vincent back there? He did a good job this morning, didn't he? Got a good face for camera. He's a great musician. You can be proud of him. You can say lots of good things about him. Good things. That's what God does. He looks at us. He sees Jesus. That's it. The one having blessed us in every blessing, pneumatike, spiritual. Every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. All right, that's good. That blessed us in the heavenlies, in the upon heavens is what it says, in Christ Jesus. And then it says, kathos ex lexa auto himas en autu pros karabales tasmu eni himas hagios kai hamemus kade inopion autu in agape. Just as he picked us out. Go back to Malachi. Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Does God love every man? No. We see, when we say that God loves everybody, we're not exactly right, are we? Did Jesus die for every man? Yes. That's what we call an unlimited atonement. But does he love every man? No. He does not. As a matter of fact, if you're not born again, you are on the outs with God, and God won't even look at you. Now, because you're an enemy of God. Right. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us, it says. While we're yet enemies, they're active haters of God. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are an active hater of God. Mm-hmm. And you're an enemy of God. That's a fact. Brother Ray, when I was leading you to the Lord out there in the middle of the barrio and all the gang violence and everything around us, I asked you, you've been to church, I said, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Well, are you saved? And you, like that. And I said, well, would you like to ask the Lord to forgive you for rejecting him? You heard the gospel. If anybody's heard the gospel, they're rejecting God and they're hating God because they are despising. Jacob, I loved, and Esau, I hated, because it says Esau hated his birthright. Mm-hmm. He despised his birthright. He had no. How many people out there in the world today are hating the very person of Jesus Christ? By rejecting him. These are unusual words, aren't they, Sharon? This is not what you hear from pulpits, is it? No. But this is the person of God. God does not love everybody. Amen. Why is there a file 13? For those that don't love him and that he don't love. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Just as he picked us out. That comes from Lego. And ek, he picked us out. Now the word lego, this little old Greek word, almost writing it backwards here, almost wrote it backwards. And then we have ek. Lego draws a picture. This is the word picture. Have you ever seen these little quail out here, Vincent?
Yeah.
You ever watch those quail?
Yeah.
What are they doing out there?
They
do a lot of picking out there. They're picking up things. You know what a quail will do? He has a gizzard. How do you know what a gizzard is?
Well, you bite him, right?
Huh?
You're talking about inside your...
Yeah, what's a gizzard?
It's like a stomach.
No, it's not.
Like a filtering gizzard?
What's a gizzard?
Well, it picks up the gravel and grinds
it. Do quail and chickens have teeth?
No.
Do you have teeth?
Well, I got a few.
You got front ones and you got back ones, and the back ones are the grinders and the molars, aren't they? And your food, you're supposed to chew it up real good. And then you can digest it. You try to swallow it without chewing it up. That's where Jesus used that hyperbole, remember? You strain out the gnat and you swallow a camel. You got to chew it. You got to kill him, skin him, cut him up, cook him, and then you got to chew him up and swallow him to digest him. He said you gulp down a camel with a single gulp. That's not possible. But chickens and quail and pheasants and all those type of animals, they have gizzards. Ducks have gizzards because they don't have teeth. Now, a quail or a chicken out there running around, he's going to pick up certain kind of rocks. He likes to eat rocks. I had a friend back there in Phillips, Wisconsin. He's got a little hound, and he's called Dr. Watson. And Dr. Watson went out and swallowed a rock. He thought it was a chicken. Dr. Watson had to go have an operation to get that rock out of him. It wouldn't go through his system. He's not a chicken. A chicken will go out there and pick up rocks, and they usually pick up a rock that's very sharp, and it's hard. They'll swallow that rock, and it'll go down and stay in their gizzard. And that gizzard is not an organ. The gizzard is a muscle. How many of you had ever had gizzards, chicken gizzards or whatever? They used to cook them.
Right. Yeah. Sand in
there. That's rocks in there, brother. Yeah. And those rocks are necessary for the digestion of their food. Chickens eat corn and stuff like that. Now, I'm telling you, corn is hard. They'll swallow these rocks and they'll go out there and they pick things up that they think is good. They'll pick up seeds. They'll eat a certain amount of grass and blades and vegetation out there. They'll need this because it's good for them. But they got to have them rocks. And they swallow that because they picked all these things out. Well, the word Lego has the idea of a chicken or a quail or a pheasant out there picking up and sorting out and picking up. It means I pick is what it literally means, I pick. And right here is he picked out us. Okay, let's look at it. He picked us out in him. In him.
Back in Ephesians?
Yeah, back in Ephesians 4. Just as he picked us out in him before the katabales. Katabales. Kata means what? Down. And balo. You throw a ball. That means the throwing down. Before the creation. Before the construction. Before the construction of the cosmos. Barishith, bara, elohim et hashamayim ve et haaretz. In one of the beginnings, he had created God, Elohim, the uplifted waters, the cosmos, and then he placed the earth in exactly the right place. And then it says in Genesis 1 and 2, it says, Weha'aretz, hathiatuhu avuhu. And the earth, she had become formless and void. And then it says, Ruah Elohim, Merecheveth El Panei Hamayim. Spirit God suffered over the faces of the deep. Suffered over, mourned over. God's Spirit mourns over every one of us to bring you to Him. Because when He's wooing you, when He calls you to salvation, He knows that it that very precious thing that He gave you, that volition, can go the wrong way. How many people go to church? How many people have religion that aren't the picked out? Religion is fine, but salvation is a different thing. There are many people in the world today that are religious, and they use religion to in their business, in their philosophy of life. But when you're a child of God, when you're His child of God, when you are the picked out, the chosen ones, you are the chosen. Picked us out before the throwing down. And then he says, for us to be holy. Hagios. Hagios means what? Not of earth. Not earthlings. Earthlings. Not worldlings. They used to have, when I started preaching, that was in the last century. You know. In the early part, well, right in the mid of the last century. And they used to talk about worldlings. People that didn't do anything but go out and just gather up things in the world. A hoarder would be a worldling to them today. That would be a very great sin, a hoarder. Worldling. It was not what you had, but what you gave your children and what you did with your life. That's what the world then was. And today it's a total different thing. I remember when televisions came out. I remember before television. See, I mean, I'm old. Before television, people sat around and they heard Grandma and Grandpa talk about their lives and tell about how they ought to live. And if they didn't live right, they called them things, worldlings. Am I telling the truth, Marilyn?
Yes,
that's what it was. And then television came out. Well, the first thing came out was radio. And the family would sit around and they would eat dinner. And they would talk about the problems of the family today, what they're going to do. And then they would go in and listen to the radio programs. You know, Buster Brown or The Lone Ranger and all that stuff. And I remember listening to those radio programs and I could just see it happening. But boy, when the television came into the houses, the world went upside down. I remember when a preacher wouldn't have a television in his house. You remember, did I have a television in my house, brother?
That's
no.
Right now.
No. I thought it would retard my boys. I didn't have one until they went to high school, and they had to watch television programs and do a report on them. So I went and bought them a good television, a Sony Triniton. That's when I bought that. I bought that. I didn't have a television before that. We didn't have television for years. People say all different kinds of things about television programs. I never knew what they were talking about because I never watched television. I didn't watch television programs. When I went to Fish Lake Valley up there, I got a satellite television thing, and I watched AMC and the old movies without commercials. Gunsmoke without commercials and Wyatt Earp without commercials and all that kind of stuff without commercials. I didn't have to put up with all that Cheerios and all that kind of stuff.
Cheerios.
It changed the whole psyche of the family, didn't it? Did it? Now you eat dinner around the television. You go to somebody's house and they have the television on. You don't visit, you watch television again. The whole thing, this worldlings. We become worldlings without even knowing we're worldlings.
Right.
Holy, not of earth, and amemos, unspotted by the world. I always tell people this, and I know they don't like this when I tell them this. I said, you shouldn't look like the world. You shouldn't smell like the world. You shouldn't eat like the world. You shouldn't act like the world. They ought to see something different in you. And you ought to be like an Amish or one of them old Mennonites. That's what Baptists really are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to be like that. I said, they're different. Yes, they are different. They're different. You know, the Pentecostal people are really out of line theologically, aren't they? They're all messed up. They're hyper-Armenians, and that's heresy and all of this. But I'll tell you what, they do look. You can tell one when you see one, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't get that from them. They got that from Baptists a long time ago. We just forgot about it.
Yep.
We walked off and left it. And they got it. Unsplotished, down before and in the presence of Him in love. Does God love everybody? Jesus Christ died for everybody. God does not love everybody. He loves those that come to Him. And He will cherish you and love you. And spank you when you need it. And sometimes when you do something wrong and you don't even feel guilty about it, then you feel guilty about not feeling guilty about it. Don't we? And that's a punishment, isn't it? God, why didn't you whip me about that? Why didn't you whip me? Why didn't you? Why? Do you have a good conscience before God? We only got the one verse here now so far. Ude hote esen sperma Abraham. Because there are seed of Abraham all born, but in Isaac he shall be called to you a seed. In Yishekel, God laughs. God has pleasure. That was his original name, Ezekiel. They shortened it up to Yitzchak, which means pleasure. Laugh, pleasure. You go study that word, Yitzchak, in the Hebrew lexicon. You go chase it and find out what it means. It means pleasure. It means to love. It means to kiss. It means to caress. 9 and 8. 9 and verse 8. What time am I supposed to quit?
Whenever.
All right. Tut estin uta tekna tes sarkos. Tata tekna tuthiu ala ta tekna tes epangalias logezete a sperma. This it is, not the live births, not the physical births, of the flesh. Are all men sons of Adam? Did God provide salvation for all mankind?
Yes.
1 John 2 and 2. For he is our atonement, not for our sins only, but for the whole world. Jesus Christ died for the whole world, but he doesn't love the whole world. Don't make God like some scoundrel out there. God doesn't love you. Don't go up and say some God loves you. I did like a little track that old Harold Camping's group put out. It says, "Does God love you?" That's pretty cool. Does God love you? You can tell them Jesus Christ died for you, but if they're enemies of God, they're enemies of God. Don't say God love them. God don't love them. If they don't love him, he don't love them. This it is, not the ones born out of the flesh. These live births of God, but the children of the promise. Are you children of the promise? Are you children of the promise? Do you know that God loves you? Yes. And if you're in one of God's churches, God loves you. You're a twice-blooded person. Jesus died for all mankind, and he died especially for the church, the twice-blooded ones. That's very beautiful, isn't it? The twice-blooded. Are you the twice-blooded? But the children of the promise. It is ledgered. It is accounted. It is computed. The seed. Ishmael, even though God named him Ishmael. What's Ishmael mean? God hears. That poor little girl, Hagar. She was a princess in Egypt. She was a princess in Egypt. She wasn't a commoner. She was a princess in Egypt. She was Pharaoh's daughter by one of his concubines. And when Abraham came in there and lied, a child of God lied to a king. The greatest king on all the earth at that time, he lied to him. And he sold his wife, the woman that would be the mother of the promised ones. He sold her to King Pharaoh. Sold her to him. Ungodly buzzard, wasn't he? And God struck Pharaoh, not Abraham. Did Abraham deserve a whooping? How much did Abraham deserve a whooping? Well, he deserved it, didn't he? But he didn't whip him. He defended him because he was his elect, his child. He loved him. Okay? He loved him. And Pharaoh had given him his daughter as a political alignment marriage. And he gave her to his wife for a slave. What a demotion that girl got. Now God looked at her and he blessed her. He blessed her. She didn't have any control over her future at all, did he?
No.
Did she? None. She had to do exactly what that woman told her to do. And she wasn't supposed to be Sarah's slave. She was supposed to be Abraham's wife. Well, finally, she tells, I'll give you my slave for my wife. And, of course, he did that. And she had a child right away. It wasn't Abraham that was impotent or not able to. He was potent. When he had sex with her, she got pregnant. Sarah didn't. She said, God is mad at me, but she really thought that God was mad at Abraham because of the scoundrel that he was. And she was going to prove to Abraham, it's your fault, not mine. You sold me to Pharaoh. I didn't go down there. You sold me to Pharaoh, and I was pretty and everything else, and it's your fault that we're not having children. So you just take her, and I'll show you. And she got pregnant, and God showed her. And God laughed, Ishmael. God laughed at her because she was trying to interpret God's pleasure, and it wasn't that. She got pregnant. That little girl was finally, she mistreated her. Sarah means what? It means, her name means contentious. She was very contentious. Now let's look at this. What we've studied so far. We're going to get into this little chart later. But let's just go over it for a moment. Have you all got one of these? Mm-hmm. You know that's Oklahoma. This is a little chart that I made up. There's only one like it, what you got. Over here to the left is TULIP. Total hereditary depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. Now, I don't believe all of that. I'll tell you what I do believe, and I'll tell you what the Bible does teach. We've got just a little bit into that today, just barely. Jacob I loved and Esau I hated, and it's repeated again in the New Testament, and guess who repeats it?
No.
God is trying to tell us His person. This is who I am. This is who I am. Now, there's superlapsarianism or antilapsarianism, infralapsarianism, and there's sublapsarianism. Now, those are great big terms. And you're going to learn them a little bit better, understand them a little better lately. All I did was introduce you to it today. I'm introducing you to the person of God. Now, if you're listening out there someplace in some foreign land, maybe Afghanistan or Yemen or China or Ethiopia or wherever, does God love you or does God hate you? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, God loves you. If you haven't, you're a God hater and He loves you and He hates you. And if you are one of the elect, if you are born again, you ought to be serving the Lord in one of His churches the best way you can. Do it. Mm-hmm. You know to do it, do it. He that knows to do it and does it not, is to him it is what? Sin. I know this is a hard message and a very confusing message, isn't it? It's a message maybe that you've not heard in your life before. Vincent, what song do we have? I'm going to give you an invitation. If you're lost and you don't know the Lord, accept His sacrifice for you, believing that Jesus Christ came in the world, was born in the right place, lived the perfect life, that was crucified on the cross of Calvary and died for your sins and was raised again for your justification. If you need to join one of God's churches, do it. Don't fool around. Do it. go find and you serve God's churches. Rinse it.
Hymn 401.
401.
401.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Amen. Amen. Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. If you're his. If you're the devil's, the devil wants to destroy you. I told you a while ago, I said, how do you grow in grace? By sinning and getting corrected and seeing how much God loves you. By serving the Lord, by studying his Bible. Yes, we know that, by studying his Bible. But life teaches you lessons, doesn't it?
Amen.
We learn by those lives, those lessons. God bless you with his word. Father, thank you for your word. Let it go out. Help it to convict sin, sinners of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, and those that are saved of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Forgive us for your failure, Father. Use us and help us to glorify you with our lives. For that's why you left us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.